then several issues to pass along. The major roadways beginning to clear out nicely. Southbound I-15 looking better from 33rd South all the way out to the 44th South. Heading into Davis County, you'll still run into some slowing in the Bountiful area for the most part. People are moving pretty well. And we're grateful for this wonderful day. And we humbly say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Happy New Week to everyone who's tuned in to the show with us.
Shut it, Jeff.
The time to be
stupid song.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to This Week in
Welcome
Mormons,
to This Week
people.
In Mormons. I can do my David
the
Bowie.
The show where we quit wasting time and get right down to business.
No, I'll do my David Bowie version. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. You are here.
All right, that's pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
That's pretty good.
I'll
give you that, Jeff.
I only channel David Bowie from the movie Labyrinth, though. I don't care about all the other stuff. It's just only from the movie Labyrinth.
Jeff, how are you? How is your life?
Super duper, Al. Let's see. Well, we had a bit of a late show last week, so we haven't had too much of a lull in between episodes right now. But
what was our late show? I thought we did it right on Wednesday.
We did it on Wednesday, but that's harder now since I don't have as flexible of a work schedule, so it means the show doesn't go up till Thursday night, you know? So it...
How dare you? Stay up. I thought you were dedicated.
I am dedicated to sleeping. So when
oh, yeah, yeah.
When we have a show.
I knew you were dedicated to one of those.
When you and
things.
I finish recording at 11 p.m. one night, all I'm thinking about is getting in my bed so I can get up and go to work the next morning and then figure it all out. But anyway.
I feel like all you do is work and sleep, Jeff. Is that true?
That is sort of the nature of life, I've discovered. That's what happens when you're a man.
Jeff, you know if you were working with me. That we would play all day and never work at all.
I don't think this is true because I know you, Al, and you decry wasted time in the workplace.
All right, that's you, true. I would actually be very very much a driver of you, and it would probably ruin our friendship. So it's a good thing you don't.
You have a very low tolerance for these things.
But if we did work together.
But it would still be...
That would be amazing.
I'm thinking of Tobias Funke right now. It's just like they delude themselves into thinking it'll work for them. But it could work... For us. Right. I'm doing well. It was pretty good. Let's see. Weekend stuff. Nothing.
Did you notice Third Rock from the Sun is now on Netflix? I mean, that's kind of a game changer for you, isn't it? Gilmore Girls Be Gone. You can finally watch.
Yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Third Rock from the Sun.
In his prime. That's what I want to see.
In his prime. From the very beginning.
That is where you want to see. I don't think I'll be watching that. No, what I've been tempted to watch, I don't know, did you see this going around social media last week? The guy who took footage from the old show Dinosaurs and put the Biggie Smalls Hypnotize song over clips from it?
No.
Oh, if you didn't see this.
My circle is not into the Dinosaurs animatronics.
But do you remember that show Dinosaurs in the 90s?
Yeah, I never watched it even as a kid when I could, like when it was an option. I was like, no, absolutely not.
Well, anyway, a guy took Hypnotize, the famous, you know, Biggie Smalls song. I'll send it to you right now, Al. Maybe you can take it a listen while we jabber, but who
yeah,
cares?
Yeah, maybe. No, maybe. I mean, probably.
Anyway, maybe. It was funny. That's all. So I said, and then I discovered Dinosaurs is on Netflix, and I said, oh boy, I don't know if I really want to get into that, but that happened. I went to a Child of Record baptism on Saturday, and I haven't been to one of these when they do it steak style in a long time. You know, traditionally, I've just been to the ones that they do when it's like the one kid, because that's who's getting baptized. I don't know if you have any experience with this, Al, but instead there were four kids getting baptized, so they fill the chapel full of everyone who's come for these four baptisms, and they had a whole thing down where when there was time to go after a bunch of talks, they let half of the people go out and do the baptisms. Then those people had to leave where the baptisms were and go to a different room for confirmations. Then we went into the baptism room and did our baptisms and then confirmations. I've never experienced anything quite like it. I don't know if this is common where you have...
Why didn't they just space it out?
I don't know. I mean, it worked. I mean, there were four kids, so they split it into twos, and I think it worked. Logistically, it was fine. I don't know. I've never seen that before. I could understand the utility in it if you have a stake with a handful of kids getting baptized. My stake prefers to do that. They prefer to batch them together, I guess, if they all have birthdays sort of close together, rather than just like, hey, this kid's turning 8, so fill up the font. Let's do it right now. They'll try to get him. I don't know. But it was cool.
Well,
and
good,
it was
good for them.
No, but it was fun. It was very nice to go. The little girl got baptized as sort of a friend of our family, so she was nice enough to ask me to be a witness and stand in the circle to confirm her. And so it was very, very nice experience all around doing all that. It was great.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
I enjoyed it. And then the rest of the weekend was just, you know, church early and such. And yeah, we made a whole chicken roast for the first time. That was a dream.
Jeff, your life is inspiring. I feel like if we did nothing else but just recant what you did on your weekend.
Well, I feel like I also accomplished a great thing because I introduced some of our friends to R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet, which is terrible Sunday viewing. But I'm just going to warn any of you up front. Don't go look for it if you're not into just like awful rap operas. But it's pretty amazing. Al, if you ever watch it, you will love it.
I'm sorry, Trapped in the Closet? Is it about?
It started years ago.
What it sounds like?
No, it's not about that, actually. R. Kelly made what he describes as a rap opera or a hip hopera, if you will. And it's like chapter after chapter that are all 3 minutes long, and it basically has the same beat. And it's just he is the narrator of this lengthy, convoluted story that if you actually want to sit through the entire thing, it's like 40 chapters long.
Nope. Okay.
But it's intentionally like so simplistically absurd that it's in many ways it's hilarious. But don't go watch it.
I hate you three times more at the end of that story.
Well, you're an affirming person, and I, for one, can't believe you're not married yet. So tell me, how are you
R.
doing?
R. Kelly hip-hopera was your...
I've had a fulfilling weekend, and I've spent time with my lovely wife.
No, Jeff, and this isn't about you. Right now, I'm in an awful state. I have a refrigerator. I buy milk in the half-gallon containers. And because I'm gone, I come and go all the time. I never get past halfway on them. And to get rid of milk efficiently, you got to pour that down the drain and then throw the carton away. And I mean, keep the smells down, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's very, very hard.
Well, at this point, I've gone too far. And I had like five milk cartons down in my fridge that were all half drank. It was turning into more of a science experiment than anything. I wanted to see what would happen when they made it to, you know, the 8 and 9 month mark. And as they approach that, this is a pro tip for everybody out there, they explode. Not explode, but like the plastic is deteriorated and just goes away. And
Was that what happened? Did it explode or did the plastic dissolve?
Well, it just cracked down in the bottom, and this terrible, terrible substance.
Is it a plastic carton or is it like a paper plastic coating carton?
No, it's a plastic, carton. Just talking about this is making me nauseous.
Al has his window open, everybody, by the way, because he can barely breathe.
It spilled all the way out, and I had I had farted up to go.
Good.
Well, and then I got up to go get a drink so that I was in here doing a conference call with my sister at the time, and I didn't want to, you know, you don't want to fart around your sister, so I fart and leave, go to the fridge to get a soda or something, and I open it up and it's just this awful smell, and I thought I had pooped my pants or something to that effect. It was the most rancid, awful smell, and I came back and sat down, and I couldn't figure out what it was until I go back to the fridge, see this milk seeping out, and now it's awful, and of course I'm a bachelor, so that my best approach, oh my gosh, this is, my eyes are watering right now, but my best approach at fixing this was to turn on my Scentsy. So I've got this terrible mix of potpourri-ish sort of like pine things mixed with this milk concoction. And I made a huge mistake, Jeff.
I feel like you could sell this in.
I left the door to my bedroom open while I went out to try and not die in here. And now, I mean, it's permeated literally everything. And I'm a can of Lysol down trying to fix this thing. And I got the window open. And I'm just in real bad shape right now.
I'm really sorry, man.
This is the worst part of my life.
This cracks me up. You still do go places, but like back when you split your time between Salt Lake and Kansas City and elsewhere, this has happened before where you've had spoiled milk and we've laughed about it. But now I feel like for the most part you're in the one place. You just need someone.
My excuse is not nearly as valid. That's fair.
You haven't learned much in your 30 plus years on the earth about how to just, you know, maintain your fridge.
No, yeah. I'm not good at living life right now. Jeff,
yes,
I have fun.
Though that being the case, milk is never a problem for me, but we also just get rid of it. But like anybody else, sometimes stuff just stays in a fridge for a long time. Like I think I discovered last week some salad that we had from when my in-laws were in town.
Oh, I got a pack of bacon that's a complete
gamble. Like 2 months ago, just the salad sitting in the back that's totally a lost cause. So it happens. I mean, you know, it happens. I think milk is less permissible, though. Oh, look, Russell Stevenson, the Mormon history guy, just popped up online on Skype. Should we rope him in on here? Just catch him blindsided? No?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
I thought the people might enjoy that. That'd be.
I thought the people might care. Well, no.
No, they don't care about anything. No. I really wanted to see Cinderella this weekend, but, you know, the schedule didn't work out.
You're such a weirdo.
I'll let you know if it changes. Says the man who's scratching his forehead with Ron Weasley's wand, the worst wand in all of Harry Potter.
Jeff, what is the when I put my thoughts into a pot of water? What is that thing?
It's called a pensieve.
Yeah, that's what
obviously
I
derived from the Latin verb meaning to think.
When I went down to Branson again this last week or on Saturday.
Well,
this was interesting too. So I go down to give a speech to. Some college, like the Greek letter people.
A fraternity / sorority?
No, it was like the Phi Theta Kappa, like honor society people.
Okay.
So I go down and I tell my story. I got a standing ovation, Jeff. This has never happened to me. I got a standing ovation from grown-ups. And then I didn't know what to do. So I just like, I started walking back to my table and I'm like walking through the midst of them there. Patting me on the back and cheering and like touching me, and it was kind of a bizarre moment.
Was this like
for me,
that episode of The Office when Dwight gives his speech to the regional business conference?
Yes, except less Hitler-esque.
You should have done that. Just done Mussolini quotes.
No, it was kind of amazing because it's a bunch of nerdy people like myself.
Sure.
And just told a good story. Standing ovation. I walked through them and then like accolades. People loved me.
I'm proud of you.
Branson is my place. Branson, Missouri, the Vegas of the Midwest, is my spot.
Should you guys open like your first branch out there? Is it time to explore the franchising rights? Is this
no? But I did stop at Lambert's Throne Rolls, which was very good.
Yeah, I don't understand the question, and I won't respond to it.
No, it's a restaurant. They to give you your rolls, they throw them at you.
Do you have to catch them with your mouth?
They're very hot. I would catch them with your hands.
Well, then they touch my hands and burn me.
Yeah, better than your face, Dorcas. If you had to choose which one he was going to get burned, do you lead with the mouth? No.
No, I'd probably put my feet up or something. You know, really just try to just knock it down.
You're a jerk, Ken.
Eat my shorts, Ken. I've always wondered what Catton did to them in that movie. Like, why do they hate Catton so much?
I am sitting in literally the worst smell imaginable, and I had a wonderful weekend. That's what I'm trying to.
Well, I'm glad it was delightful. That was exciting. Did you give any talks this weekend? Church, anything?
Yeah, I gave a talk on the atonement.
Okay,
on applying the atonement, which was interesting because I had a very good talk. I feel prepared. And then, you know, I always do that, the thing where I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I'll just wing it more than, than giving the talk I prepared. And then it's 50-50. It comes and goes. I apologize for the motorcycle you're hearing
right
now. That
sounds like a tractor. Now,
Jeff, we are here because of this smell.
Olive's the kind of town where like young men stand up in the bed of a truck while it goes blazing down the street and they, you know, throw cans at people. It's that kind of community. That's what happened.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's accurate.
On Sunday, I had my first my first experience ever doing solo setting someone apart. Like I've stood in circles and done this and that because I had to release my secretary is moving, so I had to call a new one. Not a big deal, but I don't think I'd ever actually done it. Now that I'm thinking in hindsight, like on my own to be like the one with the you know, I hit, you know, the one with the keys and the authority over the quorum to
on my own.
Set someone apart. I was all worried I was going to do it wrong. I guess it was okay.
No, you did a great job.
I know, but it was fine. Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
And then also, in my quorum, I've instituted a sort of thing where we do kind of a little get-to-know thing before the lesson starts. I just, like, ask a random guy if he'll get up and, like, introduce himself and then suscept himself to whatever questions the quorum wants to ask of him for a few minutes, whatever it wants. And the guy up there is working on a PhD in Russian literature. He actually served in Eastern Ukraine, by the way. He served in the Donetsk mission. And
oh, yeah, that's the unworthy mission.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it was just fascinating because never before have I been in an elders quorum where I realized there were some fierce opinions about Russian authors in my quorum. Not the sort of thing you think you're going to get into on a Sunday when guys are like, do you really think Chekhov is as good as Pavlimnikov? It's like, well, you know, I don't like the New Romantics as much as this movement. And all of a sudden, everyone in my quorum is talking about all this, like, foofy Russian literature.
You're like, Jesus is great, and we are super nerdy. Yeah, that's
well. Then we got to the lesson, which was great too. But I was blown away. I mean, how many? I've never been in a quorum where I thought he'd be the only guy who cared about Russian lit. Evidently not.
No.
Evidently not. Okay, that's all.
I want more Shevchenko, our Ukrainian
Taras Shevchenko. It was his. It was his day last week. It was the national day of Taras Shevchenko, and I can tell you that
Taras,
that some Ukrainians in the Crimea were arrested on that day for celebrating his holiday vocally.
No.
Yep.
That's jacked, man.
It's all jacked. And the Crimean Tatars are facing oppression. They can't get government permits to have broadcast stations in their language. This is is life in Crimea under the Russian thumb. Good
Civil
job.
Civil War's coming, Jeff.
Good job, World everybody. Good job, it. Everyone.
Oh, okay, so anyway. Speaking of jacked up, Utah brought back firing squads this week.
Yeah, what's up with that?
First, they did successfully get rid of them earlier. Like, this was just a year or two ago, wasn't it?
It was pretty rough. I feel like since we've had this show, they had firing squads at some point.
Yeah,
yes.
And why do we care so much about how someone is killed?
Well, in Utah, unless this is just Mormon hearsay.
Is the killing of people not good enough for us? I mean, they're dying. Can we give them a little bit of dignity and not firing squad?
Some have said that a firing squad is actually more humane than lethal injection, and certainly the chair.
How would you prefer to go, Jeff? Would you prefer to
quietly in the night while spooning with my wife, who also dies in the same time? That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, but let's say you were a murderous villain. That's you had to die.
We got a false construct already. I don't know how to respond to that.
No, I mean let's say one day during our show you snapped and murdered me
through the computer like a poltergeist.
Yes, then you need to be put to death. Would you rather it be through lethal injection or through a firing squad?
I'd rather be hanged.
Really?
No. Utah, I wonder if Utah still does hanging. Utah also has a long history of still doing hangings, too. Utah's old school.
Right, Utah's murder thing is jacked up.
I've long heard within Mormon lore that the firing squad in particular has to do with concepts of blood atonement and stuff like that, which goes back to a lot of old pioneer era stuff. I can't speak to that with authority or knowledge. If anyone else listening has any thoughts on that, please let us know. But I've heard it's almost that case, like by them firing squad.
I feel like blood atonement mattered. I mean, if that was a thing that we were worried about, that more Mormons would know what it is. I mean, these just old guys that have done their research on their own and being like, yeah, we need more firing squads.
Might be. So I don't know.
Because that's not a Mormon thing. That's not a doctrine I feel is pushed on anyone.
No, if it's even a doctrine at all. No, it's one of those apocryphal things that we have. We have a handful of things like that. Who knows? So I don't know how much it drives it. I would love, if anyone has a knowledge of that, let us know. Inform us.
Do people being put to death, do they get the option? Can I choose how I die?
I think you might be able to, but it also might just depend on state law.
Because if there's a choice there, I'm all for variety. But if there's not,
I feel like
lethal injection is nicer.
A judge could also just straight up give the sentence and say how it's going to be.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I sentence you to death by lethal injection, you know, that kind of thing.
I feel like that was done more in the Wild
West. In the
West.
Movies. And my personal opinions on the matter are irrelevant here because I believe the death penalty shouldn't exist at all. But this is, it's very interesting that Utah is bringing this back in this way.
You're against the death penalty?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I'm for it.
I'm more against the death penalty than I am against, like, private handgun ownership. So
you're against private handgun ownership?
Welcome to the world of me, the liberal
Jeff,
host.
Jeff, you are a cowardly weak man.
I'm a cowardly weak
but
man.
But I like
I
you,
because
I
don't
respect
think there's any
your right
need
to be
to own
that way.
Guns. Sure.
Well, the right to own them, absolutely.
But like, why?
Why not?
Why?
To shoot things.
Why?
What if the government was oppressing
yeah,
us?
Yeah, there we go. And there's the classic
out.
Argument. What if the government turns on us and we have to protect ourselves?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. The history of the world is at our beck here. And
it's a little bit different
every
now,
time
buddy.
The government has oppressed
if you want
people.
To get into this, we can talk about how the Second Amendment was written with the knowledge of the fact that the Brits would quarter troops in people's homes. And so the whole reason they had the Second Amendment was to give people the right to defend themselves against government yep. actually like very physically infringing upon their rights. And privileges.
It could come back, Jeff. You got to be ready.
OK, Hunger Games / Divergent / every other dumb young adult series.
I'm just saying. No. I'm just saying.
No, no, no.
It's my right.
I'm a little. I'm reasonably moderate on it. Like I don't care about hunting rifles. I don't personally. I don't think hunting has any sense in it. But I don't care enough that I like care to tell anybody they shouldn't be able to hunt or anything like that.
I think less of you.
Well, why would you hunt? You kill an animal for fun? I get it if you need to kill to survive.
Who was it that said to deny the instinct to hunt is to deny
the
instinct
to live? Look up on YouTube and look up like kill shots. There's all these videos of great kill shots on YouTube, which is, I understand is it takes the skill and I could completely understand the thrill of it too. I get it completely. I've shot guns. It's fun. The hunt of any kind, that is exhilarating. It completely is.
Yeah.
And I totally understand it. But at the same time, I watch these videos and I'm like, dude, that's like an innocent elk just minding its
own
business.
If I may, Jeff.
And you're just
You would not
it.
Be here today if it weren't for your ancestors hunting. Ha-ha.
Yeah, but they hunted Ha-ha. To survive in Mexico where my grandma's
As
from.
Jeff, if I was poor, I would hunt to survive as well. There are poor people that hunt every day. You ever think about that?
So are you saying you believe that poor people should be the ones who get guns and be allowed to hunt, even in
urban I think the
areas?
Argument that
That's what I that's
I think
what I
the
see.
Argument that hunting for food is still a thing. People still hunt and eat what they kill.
Yeah, if they need to. Sure, I've said that. I know.
What if they want to? What if they prefer fresh venison as opposed to venison from the meat?
Like
locker,
I said,
Jeff?
That's more nuanced, different debates, you know, whatever. I'm not as fussy about that. Personally, I basically say, like, show me that buying the meat you pick up at the market from the butcher is somehow more expensive than what it costs you to have permits.
Why is that any more humane? They're still hunting and killing those animals. Are you against meat in general?
I hate meat. I don't eat any of it. I'm a vegan. I believe in nothing but tofu.
You're a weirdo, but I like you. You're like that charming weirdo. You're the kid in school that would get beat up, but I would still come hang out with
you. I believe
lunch.
We should increase the welfare program just so that nobody has to have a job at all. Anyone.
All right. All right, keep going. What else we got?
No one welfare. I'm just kidding. Well, some sad news on the missionary. Well, some potentially sad news on the missionary front, and then some decidedly sad news on the missionary front. I'll start with the potentially sad news. So Cyclone Pam, because nothing says terror in the skies like the name Pam, has been ripping through the South Pacific. It's been a brutal cyclone. So, I mean, it's rocked Fiji. It has rocked Vanuatu. And in particular, there are still some missing missionaries in the Vanuatu archipelago. So the ones on the main islands and the main population centers, most of those missionaries are fine. They're accounted for. A lot of them stayed in the mission home as they weathered the storm. But there's still at least two missionaries serving on the outer islands who are as yet unaccounted for. Perhaps by the time we publish this, hopefully they will be found and be well. I'm hoping.
This is an insane storm. This was crazy.
Yeah, it was hardcore. Yeah, it has leveled villages. It's just wiped them out. I mean, it's enough that my in-laws, this sounds stupid. Okay, I'm not trying to say that this is like, oh, woe is them, first world problems. But like, yeah, it's bad enough. It's not just like a rough weather. Like, I know people who are on cruises and going around and traveling down there, and flights are delayed and boats are diverted, and it's and
I'm sorry, people are dead and you're worried about flights being delayed, Jeff?
I just said that I wasn't trying to make it a first world problem.
Scenario. Doesn't make it any less.
Maybe you should go animal that did nothing but smile at you.
They grew fat from my eating.
It looked
absolutely
at you and said, "Hi, I'm Bambi. Are you the one who killed my mom?"
Yeah, that's how
also
it goes.
Dead.
The
I was going to say the other one. Also, sadly, a sister missionary passed away. She was serving in Argentina. Sister Brittany Scadlock of Roy, Utah, actually got E. coli, which is not something you hear about very much. And she got sick, and she actually passed away in Argentina.
They thought it was appendicitis, and then it was E. coli. That sucks. That's no good.
No, it's not.
First, the cyclone, though. I wasn't done with that.
I was ready.
Do we know anything about like overall damages? I mean, because it's sort of Katrina-esque, right? Like in, I actually don't know how bad Katrina was as compared to this, but like crazy storm, crazy winds.
I don't know the
destruction.
Storm.
Do we know what it did?
Well, very intense. The thing with Katrina was really intense, and it hit a major urbanized area that was also held up by levees. So that's why I said it was a disaster in Katrina. It was a hurricane on places that were below sea level, basically. It was a mess. This is also just terribly bad because you're dealing with places with not as even strong of infrastructure. People who live in, you know, huts, people who build things and live on subsistence farming and stuff like that. And it's just decimated everything.
Huh.
So it's
crazy. So, one of the other things that I'm not sure if you have it on here to talk about, but I saw you posting about was that in the event of a death of a missionary.
Okay.
Well, so they were, I forget what the stats were, but they talked about how like the average death between or for people aged the ages of missionaries is like, what they say, 25 and 100,000 people abroad that died or something like that.
Yeah.
And they said that the missionary deaths were just a tiny fraction of even that. So like very, very rare. Is it considering the number of missionaries out there to the number of people dying? But they also said that in the event of a death, that the church does help with the bringing the body home, the transportation. How'd you say? Like, what is the?
No, it's there actually in the article about this sister that the church takes care of transporting the body, getting it back into the States, which can be a big deal as well. Just getting through customs sometimes is very difficult. They handle all of that, and they also actually put up the costs for the funeral. Of course, they encourage the families, the affected, as much as they want to also be involved in that, as far as, you know, taking care of funeral stuff. But the church, well, it's one thing I never knew. I mean, it's kind of something I guess I always assumed in the back of my mind. But the church swings pretty hard when these very unfortunate situations surface or happen. You know, it's terrible. It's sad. I mean, they're doing the work of the Lord, and I'm sure they will have their eternal reward for everything. But it doesn't make the immediate pain any worse or any better.
Yeah.
Rather. So I think it's very nice that the church does what it can. And you know what? I'm like, hey, if my tithing money is also going to help the aggrieved in these situations and help them not have to worry about a lot of stuff, then great. That's a little extra something. So
yeah, that's what the funds of the Lord's church should be used for, right?
I agree with you.
Let's see. In Meet the Mormons, so they donated $1.8 million, the proceeds, the net profit. Got donated to the Red Cross, $1.8 million. So they made $6 million in revenue,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then they covered their production costs, which $4.2 million, I'm assuming, to make
convinced Tanner Christensen could have done it for a tenth of the cost. One-tenth.
I bet, and he would have done it while they were filming. That's what's amazing. Mm-hmm. While they were filming. But that's kind of great to see that being followed through with, and good for the church and good for the Red Cross. I'm sure they were very excited about. I mean, I don't know how often they get checks like that, but that'd be fun to write one.
Yeah, not too often. The only thing missing.
And do you just take that to the local bank? I mean, where do you go to cash a $1.8 million check?
I don't know. I've always wanted to cash.
I would
one
get
of the
it
big
in.
Checks.
I would get it in $10 bills, and then just have it stacked in my room like a Walter White sort of storage unit.
Yeah, you want to do that? Okay. That works.
Nobody come looking through my storage units, by
guys. The other missed opportunity here, though. I'm assuming they did this at the Red Cross, so it's fine. But you know the background banner that you always have, so it shows, you know, logos and what's going on.
Yeah.
It should have been a duplicate one of Red Cross and the church's logo, checkered on the back.
Oh,
that way, it shows
great
our unity, gets the brand out there.
Jeff,
not a big deal, everybody. Not a big.
Really
deal.
Good idea, though, okay. Buddy.
Not as bad as John DeLynn's letter to try to get redeemed. When and the stuff I talked about last week. Okay, this is a little bit better than that.
Okay, okay.
But I think it's great. Hey, so if Meet the Mormons cost $4.2 million, what I hope they do, though, is...
They said it was the best performing documentary of all time.
No, it's one of the best performing documentaries of all time.
Better, even, than all the other documentaries.
I have it on good authority that it made something to the tune of 1/20th of the revenue of Fahrenheit 9/11, thus making it the highest grossing documentary of all time.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
But I think what I'm curious about is it's great they did this. It's clearly from theatrical revenues. But what about in the future? What about do they get, you know, money from licensing deals with Netflix and with streaming sites? Will they donate any additional?
Jeff, we've paid our money. We've paid our money.
Well, what are they doing with the rest? I'm grateful for what they've done, but I want answers for the future. I want to know what's going to happen.
I want promises. The revenues continue to be
made. Come on, Gary Stevenson. Payments. I'm not going to get messed around with. Ain't going to happen.
I don't know who that is.
Other quick stuff. Of course, the much discussed, as we describe it, either the anti-discrimination, pro-gay, whichever side you want to spin it on, bill in Utah's state legislature, the one the church was pushing for at the end of January, passed in the Utah legislature. It passed the Senate by a vote of 23-5. And the House by votes of 65 to 10. So we've learned that 15 people lack faith, but that's okay. Yeah, that's great. It's the Utah Compromise, as they call it. And it's pretty cool. I mean, you've got coverage here from the Washington Post, of all newspapers, effectively praising the church and saying this would not have been possible without the involvement of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Pushing for
bill. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in that area specifically, I think this gets... spun in a very negative light unless the church steps in and says, no, we like this. This is stuff that both sides are represented. And I think traditionally in the church, there's been an element of if it's for gay and lesbian rights, we need to be against it. So I'm glad that the rhetoric has been brought up recently of like, no. We're for rights. We're for support. We're for love and like supporting them. But we have, you know, we're worried about, like the bigger picture, which is X, Y, and Z, let's do something that protects both of them. Sort of a forward-thinking move. Good on them. And good on the Washington Post for loving them.
And what I really appreciate in all of this is it's very easy, even for myself, like my gut impulses, to see how like the whole thing is just a nice way to have like religious liberty be a cover for an excuse to be able to discriminate kind of at will. And I've felt that way. And as I've tried to mold these things over. But what I really remember is in one of the extra interviews, it might have been a Trib Talk that I think Elder Christofferson and Elder Oaks did. Elder Christofferson said something, I'll paraphrase, basically that this is a compromise. And I like that they made the point to say, look, we can't have a zero-sum game on both sides because then neither side's going to be happy. Like, it has to be a compromise. We're openly saying that, like, we want to bend a little. If the other side is willing to bend a little, neither of us are going to get everything we want in this case. But we can both get some of what we want, and that's better than nothing. And that's a really, really constructive way to look at things, I think, especially in this day and age with how sort of how toxic the American political system has become in recent years. But that's really important. It's because it's very easy to say I have this moral ground, so no, I'm not going to deviate from this. But the church said, you know what? Why don't we try to do everything we can do to accommodate the views and the needs of the LGBT population and hope that they will be willing to say, okay, I don't mind you wanting some exceptions for X, Y, and Z because you still have what you care about and trying to meet in the middle.
I feel like what you're saying is probably good, but now that I know that you're against gun ownership, I refuse to listen to anything you said. So
I'm not against wand ownership.
No credit whatsoever.
Anyone can own a wand. I'm all for the wand and spells that are much more deadly than anything you can do with a gun.
So, Jeff, this is one of the best things to ever happen to our life.
I'm listening.
Mitt Romney will be boxing.
Yes.
Evander, do the deal, Holyfield.
No.
For charity. So, well, one.
As one Mitt, does.
Mitt is going shirtless in a ring.
I hope he goes shirtless.
Oh, could you imagine if he went out there in a t-shirt and was like, hey, everybody.
He should go out there in one of those old, like, 20-style bathing suits, the tank top type thing.
I expect this fight to start much like the street fight on Friends, where they're like, all right, here's the rules. No face, no crotch. Nothing above the neck, nothing below the waist. Only the chest.
Uh-huh.
I can see Mitt.
And so why is he doing this, Al? Why on earth is Mitt Romney going to box former champion Evander Holyfield for kicks and giggles? Is he trying to break into professional wrestling next? What is his game here?
No, they're just raising money. Raising money for charity, Jeff.
I did not know that Mitt Romney had a charity.
Let's see. Do you know why? Who is he raising money
for? No, it's for Charity Vision. I don't know if that's a Vander's thing or Mitt Romney's charity. I'm not sure.
It's a nonprofit founded by a friend of his that provides medical equipment in poor areas. Great. And then they're paying, they're coughing up $25,000 to $250,000 to attend.
Is that what it says? Oh, that's not great. I want to go. It's going to be in Salt Lake City, right? Isn't that where they're going to do it? May 15th, everyone. Mark it in your calendars. I'm assuming they will do that. I hope they fill the Energy Solutions Arena to capacity to watch this event of events.
How great is that? Mitt Romney bringing his A game. I think this is sort of a the long con. I bet he announces his candidacy.
He comes out and we do it pro wrestling, and
what if he got Evander to take a fall, and as he beat Evander Holyfield in boxing, he just looks up and says, I'll see you in 2016, suckers.
Then drops the mic.
Yeah, and grabs the mic and drops it.
Also,
that's a good idea.
The Atlantic has already given him a great nickname that we have to stick with. They call him the Vanilla Thriller.
That's every white guy's name, though.
Is it? I don't know much. I don't follow boxing, but I choose to believe that is specific to Mitt Romney and will remain so.
Maybe there's not very many Vanilla Thrillers anymore.
But the Vanilla Thriller.
Back when I was a kid.
Other stuff. Okay, so Salt Lake City had the Salt Lake City First Steak discontinued, everyone. So if you have any other Salt Lake numbered steak, basically your numbering is now off. That's a big problem.
Wait, was this the first steak ever?
I doubt it. No, because it says it was organized in 1950, so no. So it's a little bit confusing. So it's the Salt Lake's First Steak, organized in 1950. The steak had 5 wards and 1 branch prior to its consolidation, which I'm assuming happened just recently, to its consolidation with the Salt Lake Married Student Second Steak, which has been renamed the Salt Lake Married Student Steak.
I thought we didn't have the student steaks and wards anymore. I thought that was a thing that went away.
Also, No. What they got rid of were BYU wards, and then they said they actually created full YSA steaks. Married steaks, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Know. That's goofy. So I don't get it. Was this also?
So there's now 575 steaks and a district in Utah. That surprises me that there is a district in Utah. And in fact, there are still branches in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. We know people. You lived in a branch.
Why not just make the boundaries bigger and pull them into stronger stuff?
Well, what do you think, Al? I mean, you lived in.
I mean, sure, they're giving us great opportunities to serve in leadership positions and learn and grow, but.
That's not doing it for me, though. I mean, come on.
What if we want to disappear in the masses?
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. I'm trying to find out where this one, the one district is. I'm curious about that.
I bet it's in Payson. If I gut check, put a gun to my head, what do I say? Payson, Utah.
It makes the most sense because it's just like, hey, where else would they put this other than the place that is getting
Speaking
a temple?
Speaking of Payson, Utah, let me tell you about the temple thief, Jeff.
Hit me.
Like the book thief, but the opposite.
I thought you were going to tell me about the Payson Temple dedication, but you can tell me about that.
No, this is a BYU Idaho student who was stealing money out of the temple. He came on hard times. He came on hard times and would go find open lockers and steal the money. One of the great quotes from this article is that he said, I saw it in the locker and I took it out of the locker. All right. All right. Way to go, Tylen J. Rankin, 23 years old. Who steals from the temple? This brings up an interesting point. Is like,
well, yeah.
Your money is not safe. Your money is not safe when you go to church or when you go into the temple. Like it's one of those things where people are still tempted in there. And it's kind of disappointing that they are, because you'd like to trust people. But
yeah, but I mean, it's sad. I mean, the temple's even worse. But I've
imagine like stealing in the holiest of holy places and just being like, nope.
It's like I was on hard times, and then they'll be like, "Well, you can't really like have a temple recommend if you're, you know, like a thief." So
it's pretty much like you are. I mean, when you get to the judgment bar and God is like, "Hold up, wait, you did what? Pause that, rewind. Hold on, can you give me a still shot? Enhance this film, enhance this footage.
It's always about zoom and enhance. That's the way to do it.
Yeah." Zoom in on that. Enhance that a little bit, will you? You did what? I expect that's what's going to happen. And then it'll be one of those where he won't even say anything. God's not going to say anything, and you're just going to know that he's disappointed in you, but he's not going to say anything, and then he's going to say, all right, keep going.
Well, that's what a good parent
does.
That's
how it's going to roll.
They just look at you and say, like, you know what you did.
When you know, you see the disappointment in his eyes, and you just say, ah, shoot. I did steal in the temple. That's on me. That's on me right now.
Isn't it sad, though? I mean, the temple is the worst instance of this, I think. I mean, I've been at ward activities when people have had stuff stolen, and you're just like, what?
I had my wallet stolen at I was playing basketball at a steak center one time. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, you're just like, what? Why? I come here because it feels like it's a safe place. But no.
What? Why? Why?
What? 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 What?
Who asked you that?
Speaking of the temple... the church announced this week a few more temple dedications, so this will probably round out the year. I don't imagine we'll have any more upcoming stuff. So now there will be five temple dedications this year, which is pretty impressive, and then a sixth rededication. So we've talked about them before. So May 17th will be the first one where the Cordoba Argentina temple will be dedicated. Then Payson, Utah, will be on June 7th. Then
you say them with the perfect accents.
Then Trujillo, Peru. Will be on June 21st.
Oh, beautiful.
And then Indianapolis, Indiana will be on August 23rd. And then Ciudad de Mexico City, the Distrito Federal, will be on September 13th. That'll be the rededication.
It's like he's actually there.
Of the Mexico City Temple.
That's amazing.
And then they announced the dedication for the Tijuana Temple on December 13th.
Oh my gosh. Order me a burrito.
So it's pretty cool. The Mexico City Temple's been closed for a little while for massive renovations. So that'll be rededicated. But all the other ones are new ones. And primarily Latin. No, you got Payson in Indianapolis, and that's it. All the rest of them are south of the border. All Spanish-speaking temples.
A lot of temples. Way to go, Mexico /south of the border.
Do you remember, though, what I love is I love the Tijuana Temple in particular because do you remember its architecture, how awesome looking it is, Alan?
No, I do not remember this.
Oh, let me send you a quick link then, sir. That way you will know because it's... They themed it like Spanish or mission style. It's much cooler than a lot of other temples designs of late.
Okay.
And so it's pretty neat, and we know that the church has done that as part of an effort to make temples a little more locally relevant aesthetically, and that's cool. I like that they're doing that, except for the Rome Temple, which it's like they said, hey, there's a lot of old stuff here anyway, so let's make a really, really modern-looking building so it sticks out. That's all I can guess. I don't know why else they did it.
Oh, that's a great temple. Good the Rome work, Mormons.
I'm just saying, the Rome Temple doesn't look like it's going to like blend in with St. Peter's or anything. No, it's something else.
So let's see.
But that happened.
In the other great news, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir has a really fun new thing. Where is this? You can do this. You can go in front of a green screen and
they're going on tour with this.
It'll put you in with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. You could sing with them on video, waving as you sing God be with you till we meet again, and then singing Climb Every Mountain, and you stand in front of the green screen and sing, and it's as though you were right there.
Yeah.
I liked it.
So there's pictures with the article. They say they will scale that down a little bit so it can be more portable. But you'll be able to if you
I
go
feel
to
like
the show.
I would share that. I would share that with everybody.
Yeah, my sister is actually they debuted this at the like a choral directors conference up in Salt Lake City. My sister is actually a choral director, and so she was up there. So I messaged her before the show and said, "Hey, what was this about?" And she said it was actually pretty awesome, and everybody was. It got a lot of laughs, too, apparently. So thankfully, it's not a bunch of people lining up taking it
I think this is the future. Like, what if you could go and in front of a green screen box with Mitt Romney? I would pay money to do that. What if you could go on this green screen and rap with R. Kelly in the hip opera?
Yeah.
Worth money. Absolutely. This is the future, Jeff.
So, folks, here are your options to do this. So far, it's only...
Jim Jab movies are out. Green screens to go in. That's a new thing.
So this is only, okay, though, this is only on their Atlantic tour, which is only seven dates through the East Coast. So you don't have a lot of options here. So you can either be Bethesda, Maryland, which is the D.C. area, Bethel Woods, New York, Saratoga Springs, New York, the Carnegie Hall, two performances in July, Yankee Stadium on July 3rd.
Jeez.
Are they filling it? July 3rd, usually, course, that's like the All-Star game's not in New York, though. Oh, that's... Are they actually trying to fill Yankee Stadium? That can't be the case. That doesn't make sense. Is anybody else going to be
there?
I will tell you, guys, there's an offer code, though, if you want to use the offer code Yankee Doodle. Because you can buy tickets via NewYorkYankees.com and use the offer code Yankee Doodle and get some tickets. So
that is what I want.
And then the last performance will be in Boston. So if you're an East Coaster, I might try to check this out. You know, Motab's a good time live, and I want to stand in front of a green screen and sing the rousing rendition of In Our Lovely Deseret.
No, do Battle Hymn of the Republic, and you can just do Truth is
right.
Marching.
Truth is marching. I actually know the entire song.
You're very talented.
Do you want to hit some listener mail? Do you even want to do the cautious walk through Temple Square? It's pretty much pointless. So
no, we don't care about that.
We don't care about that.
What is our listener mail?
Well, what do we have this week? Also, a couple people wrote in over the past week.
One gal, Becky, who says, I loved the dating stories. Tell me more.
I don't have any. I've been married for over 2 years now. Very long time. I have no dating
stories. Well, Dollface, let me tell you a story about dating.
Okay, go.
You guys have heard all my dating stories. Literally, you've heard all of them. One of my favorites is that one time I went out with a girl who was really into LARPing, and I didn't know that. That was a Tinder date. I tried Tinder out.
You might need to explain what LARPing is in case anybody doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, so there was a girl I went out with on Tinder, and we set it up. My Tindering is it's just a way to get to
Nickmo,
talking to women.
Yeah, Nickmo.
So like we connect, and my first thing is I'm just like, hey, let's meet for lunch. So we meet up. This was back in the day, all right? We've all made some mistakes in our time.
Okay, and Tinder's like a year and a half old, so I'm not sure how back in the day this really
is. No, Tinder's like 3.5 years
sure.
old.
Sure, uh-huh. Okay, great.
And when I lived in Salt Lake, I was in a bad place, all right? I was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, you were in Utah.
So anyway, don't hold this against
bad
me.
Place.
But I go on this date, and within the first like 20 minutes, out comes that she's a divorcee of like a month with a 1-year-old child and that she's taken up LARPing, which is live action role playing. If you've ever seen those people dressed in medieval regalia battling it out in make believe ways in the park, that's them.
Does that apply if you attend a Renaissance fair? Or is that separate?
Yeah, and she's like, listen, it's not as geeky as you think. It's actually a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I said, that may be true, but I need to go.
And you said,
I think
you said, this is why lunch dates are great, because I'm done with you in an hour. And
I did it well. I mean, she even bought dessert, which I thought was a little presumptuous of her to get the cheesecake. Thanks, but no thanks. But we got dinner and paid
so,
for it.
Did I ever tell you, this was actually when I was at BYU, I went out with a girl who knew how to speak Elvish, like Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's great.
That it was sad because I thought it was actually going going well. I said, it's a cool chick, like I can vibe with her, it's good. And then it came up that she wrote letters to her sister in Elvish back and forth, so they could correspond.
That's like writing to each other in Pig Latin, Jeff. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there is something wrong with that. And I was just like, I can't tell you how quickly it felt like the boat turned around after learning this. I was just like... Oh, that's really neat. That's a great thing that you do there. Good job. So,
What was the listener mail you wanted to talk about?
Well, I wanted to talk about this one. Our friend Jacob wrote in, and he had some questions about the Polynesian Cultural Center. Al, I know you investigated this a little bit, but I don't know if you heard back from anybody. Basically, the question is, Polynesian Cultural Center, great place, the number one paid tourist attraction in Hawaii, as we all know, as the church advertises. So
during the luau, yeah.
And so the point is, he noticed that that they serve tea, but not just herbal tea. They serve like iced tea and coffee and stuff like that at the PCC. And so he said, and I think it's fair to say, okay, that's interesting. It's a tourist place, but still the church owns it. And he brings up the example of City Creek, but like, hey, City Creek, people serve whatever they want to serve. But it's also not that the church's logo is not emblazoned all over City Creek, you know, whereas the PCC is very obviously LDS. It's very much a church thing, and they let you know it. And it's owned by BYU Hawaii. It's not owned by Deseret Management Co. or anything like that. It's owned by BYU.
It's a BYU Hawaii production, eh?
Yeah. And so his main question is, like, you know, isn't that kind of like, what's that all about? Is that kind of weird in the sense? Because it's not as separate. I mean, you know, this is like, what's the difference if it's a part of BYU? Why can't you get caffeinated drinks at BYU, for goodness sake? But you can go over next door to the PCC, and just because it caters to tourists, you can get a Frappuccino, presumably.
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
You've lived there. You know Laie. Tell me.
Yeah, well, like conferences on campus would be forbidden from bringing coffee in.
Okay.
Because it's a church-owned school.
Sure.
We don't believe in it. The for-profit arm of BYU Hawaii, I guess they just make an exception. I actually doubt that there's much logic behind it. I'm sure some people have asked the question, and they probably battled to get it in there. But if it's making the guest experience more enjoyable, I mean, they may be offering heroin soon. I don't know. I actually have no idea. I have no idea why that would be okay. It doesn't seem like it would be, especially like he said with the church.
Well, it's more obviously like church, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because like Temple Square, we're also trying to attract outsiders, but we don't serve up. We don't have a little kiosk that's serving, hot drinks just because we're trying to get people to hang out on Temple Square.
Yeah, we maybe have turned down the Starbucks sponsorship.
I don't know. That would have been divine. Have a nice little Starbucks Visitor Center. That'd be great.
I feel like those are kind of good questions to ask because there's probably somebody that rationalized it along the way at some point. And it would be okay to say, hey, why are you guys doing this? This doesn't seem legit.
And even, I love this, there's even the point that when you get your ticket stubs to go into PCC, they have a little thing, a stub that gets you a free tour of the temple, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because if they're duping anyone into assuming that you need some kind of a special free pass to go take a tour of the exterior of a building and then go to a visitor center, we've done a good job there because...
No, we kill it. And those tours are booked all day long.
You don't need a ticket. Yeah, so it's interesting. So the church is very clearly tied to the,
good work,
the cultural center. And yet, there we are serving sin.
Maybe it's only decaf. Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah, but that goes back to the whole argument that the whole reason we don't drink coffee is because of caffeine, and there's nothing that says that in the Word of Wisdom. We don't know. We've always defaulted to that, you know?
Yes.
There's nothing that says, hey, don't, if you don't drink, it's decaf, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Well, we just don't know. I'll let you know what I find out. I'm asking up the line.
And if any of you have any thoughts on that matter, send us an email as well at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. And you can also join us at thisweekinmormons.com. to commune with us.
One other listener mail. Doug,
who's, oh,
Doug, he asks
sorry,
hey, me and my friends,
Doug.
Me and my friends are thinking of starting a podcast too. What advice would you give?
I did not get
Jeff,
this email.
What advice would you give?
Where was
to
this?
A, to
where was this email?
Podcaster.
Where did we get this email from, Doug?
You not see it?
Oh, I see it. Well,
since my friends and I are starting
it,
a podcast too,
sorry.
What advice would you give?
Doug, I'm sorry.
Jeff, what would you say,
I meant no disrespect,
to the next generation of podcasters?
I would say, first off, Doug, I see where you work based on your signature, and we would like to get in on some of that action. Not going to name it on here, but let's talk. What advice would you give? I will give this advice. Have a clear focus, even if you ramble and meander like we do, but we're allowed to because we have hubris. But have a focus, have a clear audience. That's the main thing. Think about who you want your audience to be and focus your content on that. And
the other thing is, Jeff has taught me, spend the money on a decent mic.
Yeah.
I've recorded a few times on a lapel mic, and I apologize.
You recorded like a month ago on a lapel mic, and it was terrible.
Also, wherever you record, make sure it's a clean environment, free of smells.
Also, if you are, make sure you have, you don't have to have the most powerful computers in the world, but try to close any programs that use up a lot of cycles on your CPU.
Yeah,
all right,
that's on me. That's on me. That was a previous time in my life.
But that's
life,
a thing
Jeff,
to learn. Sometimes if you don't have like a beast of a machine, you might just like have all your stuff running and try to record and then it crashes. So that's another good thing.
Anyway, and also, just love your audience like we do, Jeff. I mean, you and I, like, I see you sometimes with tears in your eyes as you record this out of just absolute love.
Don't make me get all sincere, because I'm a very sincere, like, sappy guy, if you make me get
there.
Yeah,
you are. And so, you watch Gilmore Girls.
And so, sincerely, like, I'm flattered that anybody takes their time to listen to us every week. Like, it does mean a lot to me. It's pretty, like, cool of everybody to come hang out with us.
Yeah, thanks, people.
It's very nice.
And also, come talk to us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThisWeekInMormons, and on Twitter, The Real, what are we, at The Real Twim?
Yeah, we're at The Real Twim on Twitter.
And
we're at This Week in Mormons.
Instagram, we're there, Pinterest, YouTube, Friendster. I think Jeff still has an account on Friendster for This
Week in
Mormons. We
have a MySpace page that streams only episodes from 2011 as a rule.
And EFY music, so check that out.
Yep.
And everybody,
all of our Peter Breinholt exclusive interviews are on MySpace.
Ooh. Why do you do those things in that? All right.
Done?
See everybody. Have a great week, Jeff.
Thanks, Al. You too. Thanks for listening to Twim, everybody. We hope you have a great Mormon week and that Mormanity will be your guide. Have a good one.